Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey. Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mint, hanging with you here for the next 2 hours on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is getting cold. It's not ugly outside. It is just cold.
I think it's perfect outside. Perfect. Crisp, cool air.
My hands are cold.
What's the temperature right now? Yeah, that is true.
I got gas this morning, and I'm like, this is kind of painful.
Yeah, it feels like 14. The temperature is 21. Low today is 16. High today is 26, though.
There we go.
We're still on the way up.
Are we still looking at like single digits for Sunday?
According to my phone, kind of.
I was going to say, is it even going to give you like the wind chill stuff or no?
Well, it doesn't give you the wind chill, but the temperature at kickoff, according to my phone right now, is 14. But Monday... The low on Monday is 5. And if I'm looking at like midnight on Monday, like Sunday into Monday, it's going to be 10 degrees.
There we go.
Like it's going to be one of those days where it's like, yes, it's the low is, you know, 10 or whatever, mm-hmm. but it might actually be lower than that during the game. Or might actually, like obviously it's going to change a little bit, but it's going to be like one of those where it's like dipping for the next day. Next day is going to be the cold day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be getting like the, this is actually going to be warm tomorrow, and tomorrow's going to be worse.
You have no idea how nervous I am that like I'm getting this excited for Bills Ravens. It's going to be cold. It's mm-hmm. going to be at night. It's the last playoff game of the divisional round.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be terrible. It's going to be a bad game. Like, I am very nervous.
No.
That's what I'm nervous about, is that it's not going to live up to the expectations I placed upon it.
No, because...
That's the most nervous I've been.
What is making you feel that way, though? Like, in what world are you worried about any one of these superstar players not doing what they're going to do?
It's less that, and it's more, my expectations are an all-time great game, and that's absurd. Mm. Like, that alone, you're asking for disappointment.
Oh, man. No, because I think, like, you're looking at the MVP finalists going mm-hmm. up against each other at quarterback. You're looking at a running back that if he had, you know, 20, 30 more carries, he would have...
He's getting 2,000 for the second time
probably
in his career.
Gone right up there with Saquon and maybe even flirted with the record like Saquon did. Like,
you have another running back in Cook who is either tops or second in rushing touchdowns this mm-hmm. year.
He is...
He's number one.
I think he is top.
Number one?
I think he is top, yeah. But you have all of these different things, and then you have two great defenses. Like, the Ravens defense, like we've been talking about it a little bit here, like they've really flipped things around this week, this season, like the back half of the season. They've really changed things. They have the best rushing defense in the league. They have the worst passing defense in the league, statistically, like yards per game and all that. But that might be inflated.
Yep.
You can never tell season outlooks because they weren't great in the beginning of the year. The defense was not great in the beginning of the year. But so you have the potential for Josh Allen to do his thing and, you know, hit Khalil Shakir for big passes, hit Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman, even Mac Hollins. Like, there's all that baked into it. And then again, with the Bills defense, it's fully healthy. You're not missing Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, and Matt Milano like you were last time.
Yep.
There's no reason to be nervous that this is not going to be an all-time great game.
I know, just in my head, and like you didn't even bring it up either, but like
neither team turns the ball over.
Right.
So I'm not even looking at the whole like slugfest that was Houston and LA, where it's seven turnovers between the two teams, and you're kind of like, I mean, what the hell did I just watch?
Derrick Henry fumbled the ball earlier this season for the first time in like 4 years.
Yeah, and Lamar has like, a career low in picks with eight.
So does Allen.
Or with four, excuse me. And then Allen has really brought that down to the point where I think most people are overly giving him credit for that, where, okay, let's not act like it was a huge problem. 18, yes, is a lot, but...
Well, right, but I think...
But the touchdowns kind of made up for it.
This year is also a career low for him, I believe. Yeah, six.
Is that really his career low?
Mm-hmm. The next lowest is nine in 2019.
2019, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, again, both quarterbacks having an incredible season. And, I don't think there's any reason to not think this game
is the greatest
of all time game.
I am so excited. I think it's going to be an all-time game. I listened yesterday to Peter Schrager on NFL Network going through like the AFC, or not even just AFC, NFL divisional rounds, quarterback matchups, mm-hmm. like all-timers. And he's like, I think this is number one.
Yeah,
and he's and like in that you had 13 seconds, but he's like, yeah, but you know, Mahomes and Allen hadn't become what we all see it now at that right. time.
They were still on their way up.
You know, there was I think like a Steve Young and Brett Favre game in there as well. He's going through it and he's like, I think Lamar and Allen today right now is the best, and I'm like, let's go Sunday 6th. I'm ready. Let's go. And a part of me is just sitting here going, it's going to be 17-17 with like a minute left in the fourth quarter. And it was just this worst game ever, but somebody's got to win it.
See, I think it's going to be, and I don't want to scare people by saying this, I think it's going to be a 13-seconds-esque game. You're going to have score after score after score where it's just back and forth the whole game. And the defenses are still doing, you know, their thing every once in a while. It's not like, oh, great, the offenses are just going crazy and the defense is just there.
Mm-hmm.
No, the defense is still, I think, going to have its moments. But I think, aside from the overtime part of 13 seconds, I think this game could look a lot like that in terms of the offenses both just having a day and mm-hmm. having those quick answers for each other. Not necessarily quick in sort of game clock time, but like it's like, drive after drive after drive, you have scores. Because
it feels like haymakers.
I do feel like this is going to be one of those games where both teams are trying to just desperately have the ball last,
mm-hmm.
where it's 9-minute drives with, you know, 13 plays. But, you know, it shouldn't take that long, but it is because you're trying to just hold on to the ball. That's going to be the game script for both of these teams, I think. And rightfully so. I mean, you're looking at two incredible offenses, two incredible defenses, and if you're the coaches going against that, what's your plan? It's to keep the ball away from the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the way that these two teams are set up, they're both set up in completely different ways to do that. I mean, obviously Derrick Henry can just run the ball anywhere he wants, and that kills time, that helps you control time. And mm-hmm. then with the Bills, what they've done all season, give the ball to James Cook. Oh, actually, we're going to throw it now. We're going to throw it to Khalil Shakir, and he always catches everything.
Spread the ball around. Yeah.
It's the everybody eats thing. That also helps kill clock because you're doing different things every single play,
mm-hmm.
and it's keeping guys fresh. It's keeping guys in tune with the game. So I really feel like this is one of those games where it's going to come down to who has the ball last and who plays the perfect game.
We were talking a little bit there about injuries. You were, and you mentioned for the Bills having their three defensive mm-hmm. players back, key defensive players, Matt Milano having arguably his best game this year against Denver. I know a big point has been brought a lot for the Bills' offense. They didn't have Amari Cooper. You know, Matt Collins was still trying to find his role. Keon Coleman, that was his fourth game in the NFL. You know, he was trying to find his role. Khalil Shakir gets hurt in the middle of that game and ultimately misses the next game against Houston.
Yeah, and I didn't even think about this. Allen's hand was still weird.
His left hand was still broken,
and you couldn't. I mean, not to say that hampered his throwing or anything like that, but
handoffs.
You kind of wanted to be a little more careful with that because you didn't want him to injure it more or injure something else while trying to protect it. So, I think that definitely played into it too. I kind of forgot about that.
But on that point, there may be a key player out for Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
Zay Flowers. How much does him potentially missing for you? How much does that play into it?
A lot. It's a mm-hmm. big factor because that was their one sort of explosive outlet in the passing game. I mean, yes, they have Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews, but they are not the same type of player as Zay Flowers is.
Mm-hmm.
Zay Flowers has just incredible speed and the ability to just break a game wide open. I mean, he was their first ever 1,000-yard receiver The Ravens have been around for
Pro
quite
Bowl
some
wide
time.
Receiver, Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
I think they've had another 1,000-yard receiver.
Regardless, it's still historic. Mm-hmm. The fact that he was a Pro Bowl wide receiver and mm-hmm. first 1,000-yard receiver. That means something, especially in a franchise-long sort of thing. So I do think that that affects the game heavily because mm-hmm. who else are they going to pass to? I mean, again, like I said, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, but you can only pass to them so much until the other team starts cluing in on it. I mean, the added benefit is they have Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So there is another outlet here in terms of, you know, switching things up. But I think that what everybody eats has shown me personally is that not necessarily you have to always have so many different targets, but there is a bonus to having that. There is a definitive advantage, I think, in terms of just the passing game to having so many different available targets that can all be reliable. If they're not reliable, then it doesn't really mean anything. But if they're reliable like the Bills' targets are, it makes a big difference. And when you're looking at the Ravens, they have other guys, but they don't have other reliable guys. They have Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor, Devontae Walker, like Tylan Wallace. Like, looking at all those names, it's not, and sure, you know, anyone can have a day, but like, it's not names that jump off the paper and scream to you like, oh, they have a good backup, or oh, they have other options available that will help them at least have some sort of passing game outlet when Derrick Henry needs a breather or yeah. when the Bills are shutting him down. They don't necessarily have that. And I think that's going to be a big part of the puzzle here. But the counter to that is, of course, Lamar Jackson's rushing ability and Derrick Henry's rushing ability. Like, there's not really anything to counter that. So you kind of mm-hmm. have to have a little bit of a back and forth there. But the fact that they're going to be so heavily relying on the run probably is going to be good for the Bills and also could be bad for the Bills because
if you don't figure it out,
you have to figure it out early. Yeah. If you don't figure it out early, it's going to be a long day.
Looking at the reception numbers of the Ravens receivers, Flowers is very clearly ahead. 74, just over 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mark Andrews is in second, which is, you know, Andrews' season has been weird, by the way, especially how it began, where seemingly he just wasn't doing anything.
I mean,
what's
for the first month
that?
Of the season, I remember everyone in fantasy mm-hmm. football being like, why is he here?
Like, is he just gone? Did we miss that he retired? What have you?
Yeah.
He finishes with 57 catches, 700 yards, and 11 touchdowns in the regular season.
Wow.
He's number two in catches for them, which, again, feels insane.
How many of those came after, like, the first 6 weeks, though? Like, I feel like mm-hmm. it just kind of all of a sudden turned on because—
Love that you asked that. So the first 4 weeks, he is essentially a non-factor. He has 6 catches through the first 4 weeks. All of those came in the first 2 games. The next 2, Dallas and Buffalo, he has 1 target each. Then it starts to ramp up a little bit.
Yeah.
Against Cincinnati, he has 4 catches. Washington, 3 catches, his first touchdown of the year. Tampa goes 4 for 4, 2 touchdowns. Cleveland, 5 for 5, 1 touchdown. And then he does finish off the year catching 6 straight touchdowns. Each of the last 6 games, he has 1 touchdown. So wow. He kind of came on as the year went along. He
yeah,
was somebody
he really,
that as the year progressed, mm-hmm. he got better.
And he really stacked on the yards, too, because mm-hmm. like you talked about, he has, what, 700 yards or
700
600
on the dot, yep.
Yeah. Like, it's, you know, he turned it on, and I think, you know, seeing how this defense is changing a little bit, or this offense is changing a little bit for them, if Zay Flowers is out, he kind of now becomes their number one target in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Isaiah Likely, because Isaiah Likely has also had his moments this year where when Andrews wasn't performing or when they were kind of going away from Andrews, Likely was stepping up into the passing game.
Look at that first game. 12 yeah. targets, 9 catches, right. over 100 yards,
targets.
And a touchdown. Yeah.
12 targets is the craziest thing for me. Like, that's...
Yeah, because he never got close to that again.
Right. And that's the thing that, like, stands out of, like, were they just testing something? Were they just seeing, like, what they could do?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a let's game plan for Kansas City specifically,
right.
and that's what it was? And it kind of makes me wonder, like, if we'll ever see something like that come back. I don't think we will, especially now because it's been like a whole season. And like you said, he hasn't come anywhere close to that. But with Zay Flowers out, I wonder if they're going to start to lean on Likely and Andrews a lot more than they normally would. Because, again, their other wide receiver options are not that great. And they don't really pass.
I do wonder about Rashad Bateman.
I do too, but like.
He's got 10 touchdowns this year. Like, he's had
oh,
a
really
good year.
Okay. I didn't know that.
He's done that on 47 catches.
Right.
So that's the thing.
It's like,
a big majority
like,
of his catches are touchdowns.
It feels like he didn't have that big of a volume, so I wasn't expecting 10 touchdowns. That's That's pretty good.
But 780 yards, 47 catches. I do look at their passing game, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Bulldogs brought it up a lot. This is an important game for, I think, Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott for the rest of their careers. Babich is his first year as a defensive coordinator, right? I mean, and it's been an up-and-down year, very much an up-and-down year. There have been great moments where you're just like, hey, hats off to you. The beginning of the year, I think, especially, when it was a hodgepodge of guys, you know, the UB undrafted guys having, you know, big moments, Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, those guys. It's also been bad, you know, the LA game where they were perfection. But the defense didn't help. You know, the Lions game even. I loved the first half, but you can argue the second half was bad. And you're going up against arguably one of the most efficient offenses the league has ever seen in this Baltimore Ravens team. A part of me, I think that maybe is also where I'm so nervous, is knowing where the conversation will go if the team loses. I think that's the thing. I mentioned it yesterday, and it's for both teams. Like, where do you go next if you lose this game? You lost another important playoff game. It's another year not going to the Super Bowl when you have two all-world talents at quarterback. Where do you go next? And for me, it does just seem like no matter what the result is, they could lose the game 21-17. And I feel like it'll come down to McDermott. And so I wonder for him this season how much more – he's been open, Josh, and he's been more relaxed. He's joking with the media. Mm-hmm. You heard Deion Dawkins on Colin Cowherd even specifically mentioned, like, this is the best he's seen McDermott.
Yeah.
And it does feel like he's not wound up so tight, and it does feel like he's more relaxed. A part of me almost wants this game for him, too. Like, I've mentioned, like, for Allen and Lamar, like, how important this game is going to be, and I love that for them. I also kind of want it for McDermott. Harbaugh's got his Super Bowl. He's kind of built his credibility as one of the better coaches in football, better team builders, the whole thing. We've kind of gotten to a point now as Bills fans, but I think even, like, nationally, forgetting that McDermott came in year one on an effectively rebuilding roster and broke a 17-year playoff drought.
Yeah.
In a year that really was not supposed to happen, he came in day one and did it. They lose a bad playoff game to Jacksonville, but that was not really the important bit. It was more they broke a drought.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love this for him. If he could go in there, him and Babich, put up a game plan. You're healthy. We've mentioned it multiple times. Milano, Johnson, and Bernard all back in this game. If he can go in, I'm not saying pitch a shutout, but cause the likely MVP of the league to have trouble. And you've kind of been able to do that. Week four was sort of the first time where it was like an all-around just, ooh, you have no idea what's happening. And even then in the second half, they sort of figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
If they go in, you know, white hot to begin a game like they did against Detroit, like they did against Kansas City, I would love that for McDermott to have this on his mantle. It's a big playoff game. It's arguably the biggest game of the year. I think many people are assuming the winner of this game will beat Kansas City or will have the ability to beat Kansas City on the road to go make their first Super Bowl. A part of me does kind of want it for him. I've been a bit of a McDermott apologist. I won't deny that. I think he is a much better coach than he has at times given credit for. But I'd also like admit he has had some huge screw-ups in these big moments. And if he can get something like that, and if just one piece like a Zay Flowers is not in that game, and he can just more zero in on the tight ends, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, and can figure out a way for this defense to just kind of go after him, I would love that for him. I really it wouldn't be my immediate thought, and it's why, you know, it's Wednesday and I'm kind of having this first thought now. But come like Monday or Tuesday next week, if they want it, I'd probably sit there going, good for him.
Yeah.
It took a while, but now he's got that marquee playoff victory because he doesn't really have it now. The marquee playoff games are losses, and many of them have been just screw-ups by him.
Yeah. And I think also, too, like what plays into that whole conversation with the fact that this is a big game for him and Babich, I think it's a bigger game for McDermott just because of the fact that Babich is in his first year as a DC. Yes, it's under a defensive head coach, so like you're kind of expecting him to, you know, learn more and get better quicker, but at the same time it's kind of like, you know, hey, it's your first year, let's give you a little slack here, let's see what you can do. Obviously it's a big game, you need to step up, but like it's still his first year, he's still learning, he's still kind of getting comfortable with the fact that he is the defensive coordinator. And I think to your point there too about, you know, getting up on them early with the fact that if Zay Flowers is out, you have one less explosive player to worry about. You have one less Pro Bowler to worry about. This roster for the Ravens has 9 Pro Bowlers on it. It's a lot.
Like, it's the most Ravens thing ever.
It's way too many, but it's a lot. Like, there should be less, but when you look at how they can game plan this and how they can go at the Ravens offense, the tight ends will be a problem if Zay Flowers is out. But you also have to worry about Derrick Henry, which is like that two-headed monster that you're kind of terrified of, with him and Jackson being able to rush. If you want to use your linebackers to kind of subdue them, then you're kind of leaving the tight ends open. So it's going to be a lot on the secondary and the linebackers, I think, in this game. And from what we saw against the Broncos this past week, early on in the game, that was not going well. And that's kind of the reason why Bo Nix gets a big touchdown early, over the top and everything like that, like with kind of beating the secondary, which is something we don't normally see in this McDermott defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that got really keyed in on, or will get keyed in on this week, because it is only Wednesday. I don't know why I was thinking.
Yeah, the Bills are finally getting back to practice.
Yeah,
today.
It feels like it's a lot later in the week, but it's only Wednesday. But I think that's something that they're going to have to really focus in on is how are we going to contain both down the field and short mm-hmm. field, because you're going to need to utilize your linebackers for both. And I think that's also where the defensive line really needs to step up. I mean, that defensive line needs to get pressure. They haven't gotten any pressure this week.
It's been bad.
This past month, basically. And, I mean, mainly Ed Oliver needs to start showing that he is Ed Oliver again. I mean, it's not the end of the world by any means, but it is a big part of the reason why I'm a little concerned about how they're going to go about this.
You do need the interior of the offensive or the defensive line to pop off. You mm-hmm. You've paid Ed Oliver. You know, Rousseau is looking for a big time contract. You have multiple guys on that line that you've had for a number of years. Yes, they are more built for the passing oriented era of the NFL, where you're a little bit smaller, more quick to get to the quarterback, not really built to stop Derrick Henry. That doesn't change the fact that that's what you need to do. You need to set the edge. You need to make sure that Lamar is not getting to the outside and, mm-hmm. and popping a big one off. Same with Henry.
Well, yeah, I think it's...
And they did a better job in the second half of that week four matchup. It was the big run, sure, but that's what kills you,
right,
is those big plays. Anyone that says they weren't a little nervous after immediately a big play happened against Denver's line to themselves. It was the first drive, saw Bo Nix immediately hit a bomb, and you're like, great, awesome.
But if you
here we go again.
If you take away that Derrick Henry run, and I'm not saying like this is a great number at all, it's still not great. The run was 87 yards. He had 199 yards on the day. If you take away that big run, or you cut it in half, or you whatever, 112 yards on the day is what Derrick Henry would have had. And that run was early in the game. We always see this Bills defense and kind of the offense too. They come out a little sluggish every once in a while in the beginning of the game, and then the second half they turn mm-hmm. it on. That's kind of what happened in this game too, in week four. It's just that stupid trick play. Like, that one-time trick play that you probably shouldn't have done is what killed your momentum on offense. Defense kept it going. Defense kind of stood strong
mm-hmm.
for the second half. So I feel like as long as they can come out with that second half defense and get on it early, things will be fine. But if you don't get on this team early and they put up one or two scores on you in the first quarter and a half, I mean, it's going to be a long day trying to come back from that.
This does feel like a game. This does feel a game not necessarily being decided in the first quarter, but mm-hmm. you'll kind of get an idea of how you're going to be feeling for the next 3 hours.
Whoever wins the first quarter, quote unquote, will control the game up until like the 2 minute warning. Because I think that this is one of those games where whoever gets in the driver's seat first is going to have the ultimate say on what happens for the entire game. It's not going to be one of those games where it goes back and forth. I think it's going to be whoever's behind first is going to be chasing for quite some time in the game.
Yeah.
And that's the part that makes me the most nervous.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number two call. I did post it to Twitter as well if you want to call and give your thoughts as well. What do you think is more likely? We haven't talked about this aspect yet. We were talking a little bit about McDermott and the screw-ups he's had in the playoffs. But how about a bad playoff game from Jackson? It has become kind of notorious. We'll go through some of his playoff numbers as well up after the break. Also looking for your calls and tweets as well. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Sal Capaccio will join the show in about an hour as the Bills get back to practice today. McDermott expected to speak around 12 o'clock today. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I thought James Cook's vision was sensational. You know, like his ability to wait for the hole and then get through the hole, that vision and burst was one of the better performances when it comes to that I've seen all season. So it was in many ways, I don't want to say flawless, but a big time performance by that whole group.
There is Dan Orlovsky on yesterday with One Bills Live, giving his thoughts on the Bills' running game, specifically James Cook's performance against the Denver Broncos, which did see him go for 120 yards rushing on 23 attempts. He also had a touchdown, did not had anything through the air. That was namely Ty Johnson. I always see T. Johnson, and I always want to say Taron Johnson.
Yeah.
Ty Johnson, who Josh Allen says the best third down back in the sport. Two catches off two targets, 26 yards, and of course that one absurd touchdown that kind of just left your jaw on the floor.
Thurman Thomas also this morning with Jeremy and Joe had high praise for Ty Johnson and all the running backs in the
I just enjoyed it. For like 4 years, the Bills were like, we need a pass catching back. We need that third down back. They got burned by J.D. McKissick. Mm-hmm. You know, they tried with Nyheim Hines. They've tried drafting guys. James Cook is even kind of like, we need you to be the receiving back. He turns out to be a bell cow. And it's this random guy shows up. Had no real aspirations. And it's like, that's actually exactly what we were looking for like years.
Let's not forget when they tried it with Matt Breida for like, three
Matt
games?
Breida.
Bills legend Matt Breida.
I love that. Like it's in a random year where they don't care, or I don't want to say they didn't care, but they it was not clearly like a main focus of the offseason. It's exactly what we were looking for.
I think it was at the Jets game a couple of weeks ago too. I think Ty Johnson's wife or girlfriend, his wife had the sign up with his face on the front and on the back. It said, "Jets, thanks for releasing my husband."
Saw that. Beautiful. I love the little pettiness.
Like that's just great. It's so good. Like it's been a good season for him. Like he's actually made a role for himself in the Bills, and he's made a good part of their he's been a good part of their offense.
It's going to be fun if they do go on a Super Bowl run that in like 15 years, there will be a lot of people that are like, man, like a lot of non-Bills fans are like, man, who is this Ty Johnson guy? And every Bills fan's going to be like, sit down. I've got a story to tell you.
We have lore to tell you.
And the thing is, too, it's not even like, you know, statistically his best season. You mentioned the Jets there, too. In 2021, just as a receiver, 55 targets, 34 catches, 372 yards, and two touchdowns. This year, he actually only has 18 catches, or at least in the regular season, only 18 catches, three touchdowns. Like, he's done a lot of work on very minimal touches.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's maybe the most impressive thing for him. It's not like he's been like a focal point of the offense. He's just been able to kind of get it done. and when he's been asked to. And that's, and I think that's been more of the key thing is the clutch plays that he's able to make. Of course, the touchdown being one of them, where you're just like, dude, and that's how you make a name for yourself. It is. There's going to be a lot of guys that if the Bills win the Super Bowl that are going to be trivia questions on trivia night at many local drinking holes. It's just Matt Collins led the Bills in receiving touchdowns. Yeah. Who's going to nail that outside of a Bills fan in the year like 2036? Be honest. Who's going to nail that? Nobody.
A Matt Collins fan.
Your one friend who's savant that knows like everything about like the 1960s of the NFL. And you're like, dude, you're like 24. Why?
How much did you read?
Why do you know so much? Yeah, that's like there's gonna be a lot of trivia questions for just this Bills season alone. Even if they don't win the playoff or don't win the Super Bowl, there's gonna be a lot of just like, how did you do that? 803-0550, the number to call. We'll start off today with Angelo on the line. Angelo, how are we doing this morning?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Just a couple questions. How's Ty Johnson doing since you're talking about him? And is he gonna play or not? And do you think they'll spy Lamar Jackson? They'll have a spy for him at all.
Hey, Angelo, thanks for the call. I think you meant Ray Davis. Ray Davis is in concussion protocol. Ty Johnson's fine.
Yeah.
Ty Johnson had no injury designations.
As far as we know, he's good to go.
Ray Davis, though, did miss the rest of the game with concussion. He, from what we knew before, was still in concussion protocol. I don't imagine he'll play this game. I think that's why a lot of talk for that third running back is maybe like a Frank Gore Jr. call-up. Maybe. I don't know. We all were kind of hoping for it in the last week against New England. Didn't happen because of the minimal call-ups you had. In terms of the spy, yeah. You have to with Lamar. It's the same thing with Allen, though. It's the exact same thing with Allen. In terms of who's going to do it, I mean, Milano?
I think he's the right answer.
You put the guy that has, I would say, probably the best football intelligence, just kind of, he's always been in the right spot at the right time. And you saw in the wild card game, the closing speed seemed to be back.
I was going to say, like, I wonder if Dorian Williams is also going to be an option for the spy.
He's not
on
the field enough.
He's not on the field enough, but I think the fact that Milano's closing speed looked to be back in the game, and it was just that one play, really, but over the whole game, Milano, it looked like he was Matt Milano, right? Like, it wasn't just that one play. It was the entire game. He had other moments where he was there, and he was doing good.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that kind of maybe changed things, because maybe originally it was kind of a, we'll see who can kind of handle it here, because Dorian Williams does have that just athletic ability, but he doesn't necessarily have the football IQ yet that Matt Milano has.
Yeah.
Milano is just, he's got that just different bit of football sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's going to be like a driving edge, even though if he isn't as fast as he was or isn't at his top speed, the football IQ definitely increases that.
Yep.
A lot.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on with us today. We also got some tweets to get to, and a reminder that when we get connected to our fans, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Having a little bit of fun today talking about what's more likely, a divisional round screw-up by Bills head coach Sean McDermott or a playoff screw-up by Lamar Jackson. Just going through his playoff numbers here, it's sort of become the talking point with him. In 7 playoff games, he's got a record of 3-4, of course, adding this last game this past week. His completion percentage is just under 60, 8 touchdown passes to 6 interceptions. He has not been the same quarterback from the playoffs to the regular season. From the regular season to the playoffs. That's not really it's not a new development. That he's kind of had that Peyton Manning sort of look to him where it's like, hey, he'll light you up in the regular season. Mm-hmm. You get him on the road in the playoffs, or you just get him in the playoffs at all. I mean, they've had the one seed twice. They have a single playoff win to their name in that run and one AFC championship appearance.
And that kind of plays back to the coaching conversation we were having at the end of the last segment with John Harbaugh, because John Harbaugh is one of those coaches where he's a great coach, he's a good team builder, and he can get everything right. But once it gets out to playing on the field, you kind of wonder, can his players finish the job? And for the most part, so far, Lamar has had issues with that.
Yep. Alex Brasky over at Batavia Daily, he tweets in, option 3, Sean McDermott masterclass.
I love it. That's good confidence. I like it. I like it, Alex. I think we might see that. I really do. I wonder what the game plan will be, but I have confidence. It feels different than years past where you kind of had these shaky moments all throughout the season. And sure, there's still been times this season where it's like, what's the defense doing? What's going on? But it's a very quick fix whenever that does happen. Like the Rams week, it was, man, Matthew Stafford was great, but you really could have made some differences there on defense. Mm-hmm. And then the next week it was, yep, everything's fine. We're going to go out there and beat Detroit.
And again, I can understand the fear of the second half performance in that game, but you were leading that, what, 35-14, and you made Detroit chase that on the road.
Yep.
And so that's another big thing, too, of like the idea that you're bringing up the Lamar Jackson playoff struggles on the road at night, a ravenous crowd. Again, there's going to be the storyline of he stole the MVP from Allen. That, you know, he's taken awards Allen should have this year. That crowd is going to be engaged. They're going to get going. And that's why I think the first quarter, funny enough, is going to mean a lot in this game. If it does start off with, let's say the Bills win the toss, they defer. They always do, and I appreciate that. You need more information. I'm all for it. And the idea of double dipping at the end of the first half, starting the second half,
it's always been my favorite.
I will never take the first kickoff to open up a game. Overtime's a little different. I will never take it to open up a game. But on that point, if they go 3-and-out, like the Detroit game, like I mentioned, or like the Kansas City game where it's a turnover, that crowd will not shut up. It is going to be loud,
MVP
aggressive.
Chance,
yep.
Like,
you know, Bronx cheers kind of deal towards, yep, Lamar, the whole thing. And then if the Bills go up 7-0, 10-0, what have you, you're chasing a game on the road. It's a little different at home where the crowd's going to be with you and the whole thing. Then all of a sudden with that, you're going to silent counts. The Ravens are also the second most penalized team in the NFL.
Right. We saw that a lot. I mean, granted, it's the first week of the year, so there's a lot different from now to then. But that first week of the year, remember how many times that offensive line got penalized?
Oh, that was brutal. Yeah, it was brutal.
Like,
yeah.
There was a lot going on in that first game.
Yep.
And it was all eyes were on you, too. So, and that it, the problem hasn't gone away. That's why I bring it up. I understand it's the first week of the year, but the problem has not gone away.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a very prevalent thing on their offensive line. So, and I still think back to the quote that was brought up earlier this week. Lamar Jackson had issues the last time the Ravens were here in the playoffs when there was only 6,000 fans here. Like, that's like not even half of,
yeah,
what is going to be there on Sunday.
Yeah.
And sure, there'll be Ravens fans there, but it's going to be likely like a 95-5 split. It's not going to be that big of a difference.
It's not going to be many. Harry tweets in both, which I love the whole,
yes,
immovable object, unstoppable force. That's going to be awesome. Honestly, that might be, like, if you're a neutral fan, the funnest part about it,
mm-hmm,
is if both happen and you're just like, which one's better?
Just, right. Or which one's worse?
Which one's going to be worse?
Yeah.
That could be tough. And then Steven tweets in, just gives like a whole rundown here. McDermott screws up. Lamar counters by having a bad game. McDermott does more screwing up. 17 heroics.
I think this kind of is like the entirety of the story in Harry's tweet, because it feels like one of those games where it's going to be like, you know, very back and forth in terms of those screw ups. And then all of a sudden, Allen comes in and it's just like, hey, here's 5 touchdowns.
Look, I'll take the win, but there will be a part of me that's just like, damn.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to judge, but it's just like, I already know then immediately, like, there's going to be a sentiment of the fan base that won't enjoy the win,
mm-hmm,
and is just going to complain. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That's why, like, to Alex's point, I need that McDermott masterclass so that we can just enjoy the win. If Allen had a bad game and they win like 21-17, and it's just like, McDermott did it. Like, he shut down Lamar. He shut down. No one's going to be like, man, what's going on with Allen? He had a great game against Denver. He's been the MVP most of this year. Everyone will move on. He's been, you know, clutch in most of the playoff games he's ever played in, outside of like two. The same cannot be said for McDermott. So I feel like even if like Allen had like an okay game and they won, people would move on pretty quick and just be like, bring on KC, let's go, baby. If the Bills win, but they give up like 30 points, I can't. I have such a fear with that, because I want to just enjoy this. It's why, like, I think a part of me is not nervous. I'm just excited to enjoy the game. I love playoff football. This is what I've been waiting for 4 months. Basically, once we found out the Bills weren't a bad team this year, I was like, let's go. When's January? Screw Christmas. Screw Thanksgiving. I'm ready to go. I don't need the holidays. I need playoff football. Josh, I told you yesterday, I watched like the 0-3 playoffs back.
Yeah, no, that's some, I don't want to call that sicko behavior, because I also want playoff football.
I am who I am, man. It's all right.
But it's borderline. Like, it's, unless, like, I don't know about that.
It's all right. It is what it is. That, man, those playoffs were sick.
They were. Like, it was a great year. That's a good
26
season.
You got the double overtime with Carolina, St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Peyton, disaster class. I mean, that's just iconic.
I mean, I think if I had to go back and, like, Are you talking? You were watching what round of the playoffs were you watching? Were you watching wild card games? Or were you watching
the whole thing?
Just the whole thing?
It was like extended. It was like the condensed games. The whole thing.
Oh wow, playoffs. That's nice.
It's like an hour and a half, baby. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
I like that. Because see, my one of my favorite Super Bowls that always sticks out in my head was Broncos Seahawks. I mean, that was like right when I started getting into football as a sport.
And the suddenness of this iconic Broncos offense.
Like this moment. And then
just falling apart.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just like, wow, like this is fantastic. And if I had to go back and watch something, it'd probably be that one.
Yeah.
It'd probably be that Super Bowl because it was just so much fun.
Another game, by the way, in that 0-3 playoffs. Seahawks, Packers, wild card round, Matt Hasselbeck's. We want the ball and we're going to score.
Yes.
And immediately throwing a pick. There is not a better playoffs than 0-3. I was 5 years old and I missed greatness. It is unbelievable.
We want the entire ball, we're going to score.
And immediately throws a pick six.
But the thing is, though, is if he does score, it's an iconic moment forever. Like, that is like the greatest ball game call like ever. You know, like,
oh, absolutely.
This is it. We
absolutely
won. Like, it. Either way, if you mess up and lose, it's iconic.
But it's also why, like, Denver Broncos fans, maybe don't cheer We Want Buffalo.
Yeah.
It sounds cool in the small chance that you actually nail it and you're like, right, we got past Buffalo. Like, you're a 9-point underdog. Let's maybe not do this.
I mean,
Matt, you know, let's not go out. I'm going to score.
Yeah, right. Like, this happened a couple years ago in the NHL playoffs. Like, the We Want Florida from Toronto, and then Toronto proceeds to get destroyed by the Panthers as they're on the way to the Stanley Cup.
It's never worked. It's never worked.
It's never worked out well for anyone.
We had to deal with this for a decade in college football. Like, anytime a team had a big win and we're playing Alabama next, like, we want Bama. And it's like, you actually don't.
No, you really
don't. You don't. They are better than – you're going to find out in the film room in about an hour and a half. Just have your moment now, man. It's going to be bad. It always happens, and I don't understand it. I never want Bills fans to do that. If they do that, I'm calling them out. It's going to happen. Guys, it's going to be bad karma coming on you. It's the hubris. It's Icarus. We all need to know this. 803-0550, the number to call. Steven, Johnny, we'll get to you guys after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mann hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Hour number one rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Let's hit one more call here before our next timeout. We go to Johnny on the line. Johnny, how are we doing today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Doing well. You know, just wanted to call, kind of comment on what you guys were talking about before, you know, how we get the win. I know you guys said you want to see McDermott Masterclass. But to me, a McDermott masterclass is just getting the win by any means possible.
That's fair. That's probably fair.
You know, like, for example, we're playing against one of the best offenses in the league here, right? And in my opinion, if we allow 34 points and we score 35, well, guess what? McDermott did his job in letting that offense open up and letting Josh do his thing. You know, I want to see us be aggressive. You know, I don't want to see what we did in that first game, not going for, you know, fourth and ones, fourth and twos. He's been aggressive most of the year. And I know sometimes we kind of get on him about not being aggressive enough on fourth downs and, you know, kind of screwing up some game management and certain points, but you know, he does a pretty great job of it. He's one of the more aggressive coaches in the league. And I just hope it continues on Sunday. And, you know, if you go for it in your own like 30, 35 yard line, whatever it's got to be, if it's fourth and one and we don't get it, I can live with that the next day. Especially, you know, you're taking the ball out of the Ravens' hands and you're kind of containing clock too. So I think having the ball, doing those types of things, even if you give up, you know, hopefully you can hold them to 3 points. You know, I want to see us be aggressive and I want to see Josh show out. So, hey, go Bills.
Go Bills. Johnny, thanks for the call, man. I agree on that. Look, the Bills, especially in the playoffs, they could win 3-0, and I'm ecstatic. It's more my job is then the next day I'm like, oh, but I have to talk to people now. It's like, we're going to see how that goes. And it has changed my perception on like how wins are. I used to not really care too much about style points, but now I'm like, eh. But for like a week, I'm going to have to talk about the lack of style points or the abundance of style points. That's a lot of it where it comes from me. I think you're right, though. Like McDermott like gets an A-plus if they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because defense, especially in the modern day, has become more of like, just stop the superstar quarterback more than their stops yours. Especially now that the Bills have Allen, Baltimore. That's the, right. You win 35-31, right? Like you did your job. Like
yeah, you don't have to shut him down entirely. You just have to shut him down once or twice,
and
hope that your guy keeps scoring.
Yeah, and that could be the win on the fourth down point too. I loved when Sean McDermott joined Chubb and the Bulldog after the Kansas City game and like really went in depth of like what goes into these fourth down decisions leading into a week and discussing the opponent and who it is and specifically you know why he was talking about it with Kansas City going forward on fourth down to close out the game, to shut it down.
Yeah.
I will be stunned if they don't go for a lot of fourth downs against Baltimore for that exact reason of taking the ball away from Jackson, keeping him off the field, limiting their possessions. And just keeping your offense on the field. I liked a lot what they did against Denver. It wasn't as aggressive as I would like, mainly because there were screw-ups. That you know, there was false starts, off, you know, what have you, misses to Dawson Knox, missed calls in the end zone. But they were making it third and two, third and three, and setting up to where, like, Cook can run it here, or Allen's just going to sneak it. My one issue with the Ty Johnson touchdown, and it's a small one because he ultimately did score, is... Josh, my guy, just get the first down. Just run it. It's wide open. They have literally parted the Red Sea for you. Just do it. And he doesn't. And then all of a sudden that kind of run lane goes away. And look, it's a great touchdown to Ty Johnson. I will say, though, there's going to be a part of me, a pretty large one on Sunday, that if that same situation arises and he can run and make that first down, I'm shouting on my TV, get the first. Because you want to maintain these drives, you want to sustain them, and then you want to score. Those plays happen; they don't happen all the time. And that's my only worry. But I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they are going to try their hardest to not let Lamar have the ball last, to make it to where they have to score with them every single time. And I do think there is something to him getting real wound up tight. And you're on the road, you're running a silent count, and that crowd is going to be against you the entire game. It is going to be a tall task to win on the road. But, and we talked about it yesterday, there is literally no better coach at winning road playoff games than John Harbaugh. He has 8 of them. That's the most by any coach in the NFL. Got a lot of them early, but has also gotten some of them late as well. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on with Josh Schmidt and myself, Zach Capaccio, joining the show in about a half hour. You're listening to WGR.